Former women's basketball player and Baylor legend Brittany Griner is still detained in a Russian prison. What's going on and how has it gone on this long? We try to make sense of it all on Locked On Baylor.
You are Locked On Baylor, your daily podcast on the Baylor Bears, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, Drake Toll here of Sikkim 365, joined today by Cameron Stewart, a local news guy who does work in local news. Thank you for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every day. Our first hit today is on Brittany Griner and the complex and complicated situation that has her detained in a Russian prison that no one is talking about. They're at least talking about it sporadically.
It's went through the cycle.
It's like the first week was like, hey, let her go. And it's been months now that she's been in Russian prison. And we've more or less given up on it. What's going on?
Well, I mean, I don't really know, to be honest with you. But we did get that development this week, Drake. So yeah. Now the U.S. can barter for her return. So it was they made the decision, the U.S. did, that was like, right. Oh, she's in there and she shouldn't be. Now we can go negotiate. They were going to like let this thing play out. I'm like... American and Russia with weed, this might take a while. Might not be all that favorable for us Britney fans. So I guess now they were like, well, it's been almost 3 months. I guess we can start negotiating. I guess she probably shouldn't be in there for a little vape capsule, but all right, let's go.
That's
kind of all we got.
Right. It makes no sense to me. Number one, there's such a lack of information on this deal, which is, and I think I'll say this. There are a lot of other Russell Wilson, for example, is detained in a Russian prison. That guy is out in 3 days. Yeah. And, you know, obviously the transitive property doesn't necessarily work between sports, but Brittany Griner is much better than Russell Wilson at her respective sport. She's one of the top in the game and arrested on February 17th at an airport on drug charges in Russia. Obviously, you're carrying vape chargers with hashish oil, which is an illegal substance in Russia. And I've seen so many people that have tweeted out and commented on Facebook posts, which are just the most toxic things, like, she broke the law, she's got to pay for it. That's exactly how those people sound. And they're all like, she's been there before, she should know. And it looks like a really nominal mistake. And I wonder, is the Russian government using Brittany Griner as an example, and the American people as a whole are just like, this just makes no sense to me.
I guess. I mean, what other American stars are going over there right now? You know, they're like, might need to use her as the example. And I get the argument that, like, she broke the law. It's the punishment is not going to be fit to the crime at all.
Right.
Most civilizations are going to think. You can't be too careful going through your suitcase. I probably would have missed it too, though, so I don't want to sound like I'm up on a soapbox here. Russia, North Korea, China, you know, those countries that don't really like us, you know, and have been known to be pretty strict to their people, probably do like 5 or 6 combs through the suitcase. That's all. But to be spending 75 days or whatever it is and counting here is ridiculous. I feel like we're now political commentators, Drake. Not that this is necessarily a political thing, but I feel like a couple months ago when it was the 40th anniversary or the 42nd anniversary of the Miracle on Ice, and I saw some primetime news had Rob McClanahan on to talk about the U.S. relations with Russia now. Rob McClanahan, if you don't know, was a forward on the 1980 gold medal winning Olympic hockey team.
Mike Ruzioni
was the captain, Rob McClanahan didn't become a senator or major in, in whatever. He was just a hockey player that played against them 40 years ago. So that's where I think we are now. We talk about Baylor, so we have to throw in our opinions on this. But it is crazy. It's
insane. And it's nuts.
And that it just went through the news cycle. That's what these things do, though. They just go through the news cycle. And the next week, like, nobody cares about it. Meanwhile, she's like rotting away in a Russian prison right now. We have no idea what's happening to her.
Right. It's insane. Like, Baylor fans, not to call any of us. I mean, I've been guilty of this too. I have probably gone an entire week in the last 3 months where I haven't thought, oh, damn, Brittany Griner's in a Russian prison. And it's, I'm just now thinking I'm coming to full terms, full grips with the fact that, like, Brittany Griner, former Baylor player who was beloved by everyone in Waco, everybody at the university. She was anybody who's had a class with her is like, she's a genius. She's awesome. You know, just this lively presence who went to the WNBA. She was a national hero, could dunk. And now she's being detained. She is sitting today in Russia, detained by a nation that is attacking another free world country. And we're like,
And not even just that, but like the U.S. is cutting them off to everything. Like, I don't think there's really like warm feelings towards, not that there was usually, but towards the U.S. right now. And we have no idea what she's going to be like when she comes out of here. Like, they must have some sort of contact, but I guarantee it's not a lot. It's not a lot. And I don't know. Is she going to play basketball again after this? Like, definitely not overseas.
Certainly not in Russia. I think that ship has probably sailed. And I'm not sure that anybody... Yeah. Well, and here's the deal with women's basketball, if you don't know, is that a lot of these professional players on the women's side will go to Russia and play basketball in their off season, mostly because the wages in the WNBA are so low, they're not really livable. So you got to go play somewhere else if you want to make money.
Yeah, she makes more in Russia.
Right. Most of them do. Yeah. Most of them make more money overseas. So Brittany Griner is certainly a star over there too, which makes me think like, crap, man. Are they making her an example for people in Russia that are huge women's basketball fans? That's a moot point. Not where I wanted to go with this. But in mid-March, Russian broadcasters released that she would be detained until May. An official from the Russian Public Monitoring Commission stated the only objective problem has turned out to be the basketball player's height. The beds in the cells are clearly intended for persons of lesser heights. So right now, they're detaining her with a bed that's too small in a prison cell in Russia. And this is the first time we've talked about it on Locked On Baylor, and something that, I don't know, maybe I'm wild for thinking it should get more attention, but okay, now that we're political commentarians, yes, what do we do?
Yes.
You are Joseph Robinette Biden. No, we're not going to play that game. You are an American official. What do you do? You're a whole basketball player is in Russian prison.
Yeah, well, if this had been in like September or October of 2020, this would have been done. If we were like coming up on some major elections, this would have been done. I mean, that's just getting into politics. I don't like politicians in general, but it's nuts. It's nuts. And like I said, and now, I mean, like you said, they were going to wait till May 19th for this thing to play out, so to speak. And now the U.S. is like, well, we're going to start to negotiate. Well, it's like, that's 2 weeks from now. Obviously, it's a big 2 weeks. We don't know what's happening to her in there. Like,
yeah.
I think the bed is probably not even the biggest concern for her. But it's like, why weren't we on this? Like, what was the investigation for us to say, the U.S. to say that this is a weird detainment is basically what they're saying. Like, huh, we wouldn't detain someone for this. We should probably try to negotiate now. And that took 2 months to figure it out.
Yeah. Like,
I don't know. I don't know where it goes from here. I really don't.
Yeah. She's been a
team. I wish I could give you more answers.
75 days in total. She's 31 years old, by the way. I didn't know that. I was
it's 10 years
shocked by that. Yeah. I was shocked that she's that old. That's a mean thing to say. Customs officials officially accused her of carrying a vape with the hashish oil and there, or hashish. I don't know. Not a big vape oil guy. So a law passed in Congress established 11 criteria for a designation of wrongful detainment in a
Drake's
different
got
country.
It. He's got it covered.
Yeah. Including credible information indicating innocence of detained individual, which I don't think they have. I don't think they're going to like claim that she's innocent, but then credible reports of the detention is a pretext for an illegitimate purpose or a conclusion that U.S. diplomatic engagement is likely necessary, which they have declared the United States is finally stepping in to free Brittany Griner. So if you came to this podcast today not knowing anything that's going on, with the Brittany Griner case. You now know. You are now an expert and a political commentarian. You can go to work to the office today and be like, listen, here's what's up. Free BG. You're an expert. Congrats. You know what I'm an expert on?
Early YouTube stars like Leave Brittany Alone guy. Where's he in all this?
No. I am an expert though on Built Bar. Yeah. And I would like to get to Built Bar, but first I want to tell you on our next segment, Linda Livingstone could be the next president of the NCAA. No, not that yet. That's later. There are steps. There are levels to this. But first, Built Bar, I'll tell you this. Built Bar is the way to get in shape before summer rolls around. We are dangerously close. Today is Friday, May 6th. I hope you had a great Cinco de Mayo. And you got to get your summer bod ready. You want to go to the beach? You want to look good? And that makes sense. I'm in that phase right now where you're working out, you're doing stuff, you're running. I'm playing a lot of tennis, right? You run like 3 or 4 miles when you play tennis. And I've started eating Built Bar too to supplement my diet and keep me healthy because Built Bar is like a candy bar. It tastes like I'm eating a candy bar. It's got real chocolate, but only like 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar compared to your candy bar, my candy bar, 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and just a lot of net carbs that aren't very good for you. So that's why I've migrated to Built Bar to stay healthy, eat good stuff. I don't like all of the green things. When I get my trailer park, I get it trashy. But to eat healthy with Built Bar. So go to Built.com, promo code LOCKED15, L-O-C-K-E-D 15, 15% off your order. Built.com, promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off your order at Built.com. Cam, we live in a society.
We do. We live in a society where Drake Toll makes fun of me off the air yesterday that I don't eat vegetables and then admits that he gets all his trailer parks trashy. We live in that society.
I do. I got 2 trailer park trashies yesterday. I did.
I mean, that's my order too, but like, don't like, how's the view from your high horse?
Hey, look, you got to eat the vegetables, man. You got to eat the vegetables. Reeds are different than the live air. Yeah. Now, when I saw this, I was pretty shocked that number 3 on the list right now for potential, according to CBS, for potential NCAA president to replace Mark Emmert is Linda Livingstone. Linda A. Livingstone is in the top 3 to leave. She would have to leave Baylor University. You can't do both to be the NCAA president. Yeah.
See, I'm not all that surprised.
What?
I'm not all that surprised. Now, the odds makers on these kinds of things, the experts, are not giving her too much of a chance. And even some saying she is the token woman in the finalists. I don't know if I believe that because I think she does a pretty damn good job out here. But yeah, I mean, this is not to take away from Linda at all, but it's like commissioner of the NFL, right? Okay. Probably a little bit more authoritarian, which is scary. But you're like a figurehead, so to speak. Like in the NFL, Goodell works for the owners. Like that's like they're basically calling the shots. And obviously Goodell can kind of do whatever he wants at the end of the day, but he doesn't usually like he's just figurehead, make us some money, make us look really good.
Right.
And you're going to keep your job, which Linda has done. I mean, she kind of came in kind of the worst time ever. And I'm convinced is the only college president, university president in the country that is like recognizable. Like,
yeah,
we kind of like give her standing ovations when she's on the field at games and stuff. Like, she's the best and she's great, great lady. You've met her, you've interviewed her. But like, she's pretty authentic and the NCAA is not. So that would be surprising is what she does if she gets the role. But I'm not surprised to see her in that contention. I mean, she's just a damn good university president, and that's what you're kind of looking for. She really saved our image, I'll tell you that.
Right.
And I think a big part of the campus.
A big part of that's image. I think you hit the nail on the head with the word image there.
I mean, that's
because,
all it is, really.
Well, you look at like you talk about the NCAA president and how it's just that the support staff that the NCAA president has and the overall body of work, you are more or less PR is your number one. Like, how can you be a great face, a great voice for our organization? And that's what a lot of presidents are. It's like university presidents. The Board of Regents is calling most of these shots. Mm-hmm. They are the brains, I don't want to say the brains necessarily, but they're the ones that do the
money.
No, the money, right.
Which is what calls the shots, especially at a private school, yeah.
Same thing in the NCAA, where it's not the president himself or herself who's calling all these shots individually. It's the money that calls these shots. And a lot of times that is the coaches and universities, the major universities as well. So I do think that in that sense, she is a wonderful, wonderful PR piece. Like just the nicest, sweetest, like Brad walking the dog on campus. And the thought of her not being back at Baylor University even next year to be the NCAA president is a wild one. But when you have, you know, outlets like CBS putting you in the top three with Dan Gavitt and Val Ackerman, who's the Big East Conference commissioner, and the other is the NCAA senior vice president for basketball. I mean, you don't get a top three spot on that list for nothing.
Yeah. And I think what has really helped her is the way she used sports when she got here. Yeah. I mean, not like she is the athletic director or anything, but she understood the importance of having a good image in sports because of what she came into, and B, just being good at sports, especially for a school like Baylor, really, really helps in terms of exposure and people wanting to come here. And she has bought all into that. Again, she's not Mac Rhodes, but she has lended support. She's at the games. She's there with Mac Rhodes. Like, she is clearly, like, a part of this. And I think the NCAA notices that, because here's the thing, Drake. The NCAA is only sports.
Yeah, that's new.
It's not the other stuff.
No. So pretty new development.
You get someone who understands how to, like, grow an athletic department and how important an athletic department can be to a university as a whole. It's pretty good. Not a bad candidate.
No, not at all. And the CBS write-up says another Big 12 commissioner candidate. So, I guess we haven't even thought about that. The Big 12 also needs a commissioner. So now
I kind of hope she doesn't do that.
I do too. I think that
I don't
be,
know why. I
step
just, I
down
don't
from Baylor. It's like Baylor president's here, Big 12 commissioner's here. It's like you're just going to, that's just the worst. She deserves so much better than being the Big 12 commissioner, without a doubt. But there are two commissioner spots open that she certainly would be, you know, apt for. And that in itself is scary to know that she could, I mean, she's got opportunities to leave Baylor University and serve on a more national or even regional scale. Former Oklahoma State basketball player oversees a private university with a powerful athletic department, says CBS. When's the last time you heard Baylor referenced as a powerful athletic department? I like that.
Well, I've more recently heard the best athletic department in the country, but that's fine too. That's okay.
Yeah. It's a powerful athletic department that chases championships the right way. Following the sexual assault scandal, we know she is engaged. That's a full stop. That's a full sentence. We know she's engaged. Well, she's married. So she is simultaneously on the, we know she's engaged. Why did that need to be said? Like, this person pays attention at their job, is involved. Great. This sounds like, sounds like president. Graduation when they're reading off the, when it's somebody that doesn't have any accolades.
Yeah.
Like, this person tries hard.
Pleasure to have in class.
They do their work really well. That's one of my favorite students. So overlooked, underappreciated. She is simultaneously on the NCAA Board of Directors and Board of Governors. So that in itself, member of the NCAA Transformation Committee as well, involved in reshaping the NCAA. That's probably a good resume to get you that job.
Decent. It's decent. I would say she is my vote
right behind her too. What's really interesting is at number four, Condoleezza Rice, who was the secretary of state.
I thought that was interesting because my dad, the Bulldozer, whose birthday is today, by the way, happy birthday to the Dozer.
Happy birthday.
Once said that Condoleezza Rice should be the commissioner of the NFL. And I thought that was actually a really good point because of like what we said, it's just a figurehead.
Yeah.
And
it
like,
really is.
You have to be political. Like, you have to be.
Yeah.
And she is political and loves football and, like, knows how to handle this kind of crap. And Goodell's, like, horrible in front of a camera. Like, the owners love him at the end of the day. But, like, he's so cringy and all this. Like, Condoleezza Rice, just go out there and be vanilla and, you know, grow the game. She obviously wants to, loves football. So, maybe she gets the call.
Condoleezza is at four. Okay, if you're reading this list with Linda at three,
it all sounds very insulting the way I'm putting it out there, as if like they can't do anything. But
right.
Like, they know how to BS. Like, they know how to show all they know how to do, but there's just so much a part of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what you need to do.
Yeah.
And so, you got to be creative and have a good, like, the give light, the show light campaign to see how that's, like, great it is. I don't even know what it is. But, like, I sit here as the old man in this discussion, but to think of how Baylor's image changed as quickly as it did under Linda is, like, fascinating to me. Like, that should have taken 20 years, and it took, like, 3.
But for I do want to put out, I know I've been mentioning how this is CBS Sports, and so, like, wow, they're mentioning Linda Livingstone. But, yes, they also said she's engaged, which is, like, already, like, you're starting to question the author of this article.
That's, and like, then, the draft analysis of, like, the fifth-round picks.
Yeah, yeah. Like, this person
caught 3 touchdowns in a game.
Teammate. Like, number 4 on the list, again, Condoleezza Rice, former Secretary of State, National Security Advisor. Here's the first line that the author has written about Condoleezza Rice. We're literally talking about a person who has stood up to Vladimir Putin. And that now, like, that is this author's case for why Condoleezza Rice, you get one.
Because you have to, by the way. I mean, that's good, because you're going to have to stand up to Paul Feinbaum. So it's basically the same thing.
One and the same. You can't say that. That's illegal. And then number 5, Robert Gates, former U.S. Secretary of Defense and CIA director. So the top 5 that has been constructed by our friend and our author at CBS Sports is certainly a doozy. But Linda Livingstone is oh, my God. No chance. It's Dennis Dodd. Dennis Dodd wrote this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they were like, Dennis, listen, we have a side project. Can you help us out? And he was like, and then just was like, I don't know, political figure. Hillary Clinton, NCAA president. I don't know. She tries hard.
Hey, wouldn't have to go to an election, so.
Oh, geez. That was good. Nicely done.
Thanks.
BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your sports betting needs. BetOnline.net. Right now, it's the basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball, and the Kentucky Derby is back. I love Derby time. You know, I'll tell you a story. One time I was in high school, and it was Kentucky Derby Day, and I could either go see Steve Earle in concert for free or go watch, like, stay at home and watch Kentucky Derby. My girlfriend at the time, thankfully ex-girlfriend now, wouldn't let me go see Steve Earle for free. So we sat at home and watched the Derby. Great Derby. Great Derby. One of the last ones for COVID. But you know what? Steve Earle would have been a banger to see live. But you know what? Now I get to watch the Kentucky Derby and put my money on it at BattleLine.net. You have NBA playoffs again, esports, live betting, casinos. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Bet online where the game starts. BetOnline.net. All right, Cam. How you feel?
Sorry, I was just singing some Steve Earle, sorry.
Dude, it's good. That guy's good. Way, girl. I was right there. I had the opportunity and just swept right under me. We got about 5 minutes left here on today's show. Okay. What do you like?
Oh, yeah. So you're leaving it up to me. That's cool. So here's what I'm going to do, Drake. I'm going to combine my interests here. I'm wearing my You'll Never Walk Alone Liverpool hat. Liverpool still in for the quadruple. Longest English team's ever been in for it. So I'm really excited this month about that.
Explain to me like I'm 5.
I'm getting to it, Drake. I'm getting to it. They dropped next year's home kit today. And I love the kits. I collect them. I'm a uniform guy. So what I'm going to ask for you.
Okay.
Is it time for Baylor football to revamp the uniforms?
It was time like the day they were released.
That this is gonna fire you up a little bit.
So for the folks at home, Cam really didn't like the segment 3 topic today, which I admittedly was weak, so I threw it in Cam's hands, and this is what Cam has come to today, our local news guy, with a uniform conversation. And
it is May 6th, Drake. It's a Friday.
That come out and they're like, I love the Baylor uniforms. Are you blind? Have you seen the uniforms that other teams wear? Now, granted, they're not the worst, right? You put the green on the green with a green helmet, and it's like, that's just a typical.
The uniforms are fine.
It's a typical football uniform. Fine. But then the problem with me, one, the combinations are just sometimes really weird and funky, where you're like, white helmet, white uniform, green pants. That doesn't look good. They've used so many combinations. But the worst, far and away, I don't even know if I really hate green helmet, yellow jersey, green pants. Hell is like what are you doing? And I think mostly because the green is normal. It's like, yeah, that's green. That's a pretty cool shade of green. Then there's the yellow that you break out. And it's like, I think I have a highlighter behind my computer here. It's, yep, I do. I do. Right here. There it is. That's Baylor gold. Right. All right. There,
well,
folks.
Baylor actually had uniforms that were highlighter. I don't know if you remember that, but they did in a different sport.
Battle for Atlantis.
I love the yellow submarine uniforms. I made that up, by the way. That's going to catch on. Yellow submarine uniforms. I like the reverse of that, though. The yellow, green, yellow. How do you feel about that?
It's better than green, yellow, green.
By the way, I hate that it is yellow because it should be gold.
Dude, somebody at Nike sat down and was like, oh, yeah, this is the color. Like you go, look, that's the problem. Okay. Soapbox. Thanks for asking this question, by the way.
Yes. I knew it would go a couple different ways. So
yeah. One of my least favorite things in the world. One, okay, gold outs are great because they show up on TV, right?
Yeah.
They're terrible because Baylor itself and fans in general cannot decide what gold is. There are 46 different shirts that Baylor itself has sold or given away in the last 10 years and that are gold. And all 46 of them are a different shade. I swear that is a fact. I swear that's a fact. So you get a gold out and it's like, oh, look, half these people are in bright neon. Half of them are in like this mustard. Half of them are in yellow. And it looks good on TV, but you see it in person. And you're you all are just confused at what colors are.
Yes. I mean, this what they have now is yellow. Like we have to admit that. I was saying in a Sikkim 365 thread actually a couple months ago, if you look up the uniforms they wore at the Texas Bowl in 2018, to me were like the perfect road uniforms. They had the white helmet with the chrome BU chrome face mask, which was cool. It's not overly chroming you. And then that white uniform, the gold paws, green numbers, and I think green pants. That's like a perfect road uniform.
Yeah, the gold paws.
The white ones now have too much white. Like you'd be like, oh, that's Baylor, I guess.
Well, like, I've looked up images of that Texas Bowl uniform. Number one, it's cool. Number two, the first picture that shows up is Charlie Brewer.
Of course.
Blast
cowboy hat in that game. Yeah.
The second picture that shows up, this is funny. Number 95, John Mayers, who is still
on the team,
a member of the Baylor football team just whisked away into the wind. That guy,
he's gonna have his own show. One of these shows is gonna be all about John Mayers.
He nailed the field goal to send Baylor a college game day undefeated against Oklahoma, and then just overnight gone. Like everyone, all the national pundits were like, John Mayer, they couldn't get his name right. Now you don't have to. It's insane.
Now that you think of that, I want to go on this quick aside about that, the miracle kick at TCU, where he came in to kick. I don't even remember who the kicker was.
Yeah, it was Mayers. There was Rauschenberg was out there. They called timeout and they
Like the announcer just had no clue that it was Mayers plural, and he was like, "So now, John Mayer, freshman." You got Mayer out there. And by the way, he's like nailing this kick from 51 and he's still saying like, it's Mayer. It's good. It's like, I feel so bad for this guy. Cause like he had it right. Well, right enough. Like,
yeah.
And he just kept harping in on it and kept getting it wrong. And like this great moment is happening right in front of us. And he just total spectator.
Like, I love that you said that because that same announcer is he did like every Baylor game that season and I love it, John. He's that guy.
I love it, John.
I love that line.
Yeah, I was like, all right.
Lives in my head rent free. But he is that's how he talked. It was just Baylor lines it up, 25-yard line, which is not like Gus Johnson kind of does that, but this guy is like pauses after every four words. It's like Mayer,
stick 'em,
field goal.
Bears.
And it's good. And you're like, what?
It's dramatic.
And it's good. And you're like, okay, it's a 53-yarder. The guy can't make it from 42. That was
all this to say, bring back the all-gold uniforms from 2009.
Yes.
Those are awesome.
Our Friday show is just
NCAA 13, dude. I use that every home game.
Our Friday shows get exponentially weirder.
We should just throw in a uniform segment from now on. We barely scratched the surface here. We're agreeing that Baylor football needs a new uniform.
Barely scratched the surface. Somebody was upset yesterday that we mentioned my mullet. Granted, it's gone now. So
yeah, that is really sad. Are we ending this with taps for that? Or
I can insert it in post.
Thank you.
Well, hey,
I can sing it.
Thank you all for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every single day. I'll tell you this. The followers on Twitter, it's insane. We hit like 850 midday on Thursday. Insane. So 1,000 by the end of the weekend on Locked On Baylor's Twitter. The movement's out there. People are joining it. People are joining it. It's like, it's not a cult. They're calling us a cult. It's not. But it's
once
close.
We get to 1,000, it's time to get me to 1,000.
It's over. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll run this campaign.
Give out a Tesla.
Run this campaign. We'll give out some
tickets. I think we said 5,000.
Yeah. But 2,000 was a Tesla, I think, which was
look at
really
your dog.
Low. That was dangerous. So thank you for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every day. Continue to spread it, the word, spread it, it being the word, to your friends. And make your second listen every day, Locked On Big 12. Josh Neighbors is a Big 12 expert, gives you all the Big 12 daily news in a half hour or less. Come back on Monday because we'll have stuff about sports, specifically Baylor sports. I'm Drake Toll of Sikkim 365. That's Cameron Stewart. He's a local news guy, and this has been Locked On Baylor.
Happy birthday, Bill.